May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. One of the things that we know for sure, that whatever happened to Christ in his baptism, when the Holy Spirit came and landed on him and remained on him, Jesus didn't get anything he didn't already have. Jesus had it all. That's also true for us as Christians. We become Christians, we get it all. We have been made complete in Christ, it says in Colossians. But there are those times in our lives where there are those suddenly, there are those moments, like in Pentecost, where there's a breakthrough into our experience or our carrying in a tangible way more. That's just the way the Christian life works. And in Jesus' baptism, that's what happened to him. He didn't get something he didn't already have. As a matter of fact, it says in the Luke passage concerning his baptism, it says, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in verse 22 of Luke 3 in bodily form like a dove. Now again, understand that nobody saw that. Nobody saw the dove. And when Jesus, the dove came though, it was like the dove came in bodily form. And he heard this voice from heaven. And because he came in bodily form, in a sense, it's like the Lord telling us that whatever happened to Jesus here, it represented a breakthrough in his own relationship and carrying the presence of the Father as the Son of Man. So it's a good model for us because Jesus lived his life as a spirit-filled man. And in this moment, something tangibly happened to him concerning his anointing, because this is when his public ministry began, and concerning the presence of the Father by the Holy Spirit that he carried on him. Now, having been baptized, in the Luke passage, it lists all these, the genealogy, and then when you get to verse 1 of chapter 4, which is actually the very next statement, and it says, and Jesus continually filled with the Holy Spirit, kind of like what Ephesians says about us, be you continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I love the way my mentor used to describe this particular verse. It literally said, and Jesus being a man, a normal man. Because a normal person is a person who's created to carry the fullness of the Holy Spirit at all times. That's what we were created to do. And Jesus being continually full of the Spirit returned from the Jordan where he was baptized and was led about by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days while being tempted by the devil. Now here's the thing, there's so much in this passage, we've taught a lot over the years, but here's the thing I wanted us to see today, is that when Jesus experienced this breakthrough, what he carried with him, though, were two things. One, that he's being now led by the Spirit in a unique way that's different than before. He was led by the Spirit, there's a unique thing he's carrying. He's experienced a breakthrough. But with that breakthrough, he also carries a new kind of temptation. Because it says that he was being led about by the Spirit for 40 days while being tempted by the devil. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this in your own life, that whenever you have a breakthrough in the Lord, whether it's some major breakthrough or just some minor breakthrough, some new suddenly, where you're propelled into this larger space in the Spirit, what comes with that, what's part of the package, is a new kind of temptation. That there's just this thing, these spirits of interception that come to intercept your breakthrough. Many times, though it seems like they come in new waves, it's a very familiar attack. If it's worked before in the last breakthrough and the breakthrough before that, he'll send the same kind of things because they're there. While you're being led in a new way, they're there tempting you. Not just, Jesus wasn't tempted at the end. That was the final temptation. He was tempted every day while he was being led by the Spirit. Isn't that a contradiction? You'd think that when you have a breakthrough and you get led by the Spirit, a lot of that nonsense would stop. That's actually when it picks up, and it's very important that you understand that, or the enemy will intercept you and you won't know what happened. You have to be aware of it. That's going to come with the territory. Alrighty? Now here's the thing I want you to see. Back in chapter 3, what he says concerning his baptism, it says in verse 21, now it came about when all the people were baptized, that Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, the heavens opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now remember in John chapter 1 and verse 52, after his baptism, and Nathanael was so impressed with Jesus because Jesus read his mail. And Nathanael said, "You surely you are the Christ, the Son of the living God?" And Jesus said, "You're impressed because I told you about who you are sitting under a tree?" He said, "Wait and see what's going to happen now, because what you're going to see is an open heaven over my life and angels ascending and descending continually over my life." He said, "What you've seen is nothing compared to what you're going to see." And so he says this as Jesus was being baptized and he prayed, the heavens were opened and the heavens stayed opened over him. He lived under an open heaven. Because we're in Christ, we live under an open heaven. And being conscious of that, this voice came forth as Jesus was living under an open heaven, and the voice said this, "Behold my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now let's extrapolate that to our experience, because Jesus came not just to die for us, but to live for us, to be our model as the author and the perfecter of faith. To live under an open heaven is to live with a consciousness that you are his beloved and that he is well pleased with you. And in that environment, it's so easy to walk in extravagant acts of faith, believing God for favor, because you live with a sense that you're loved by him and you live with the sense that he's pleased with you. Now, obviously, knowing that he loves you and knowing that you have a sense of his pleasure doesn't prevent you from the wilderness or the attacks of the enemy. But what you need to get was that it wasn't just that the enemy was after Jesus to do something independent from the Father's will. This is what he wanted to rob him of. He wanted Jesus to act independently as the Son of Man. He wanted Jesus to lose that sense because of his own behavior. Of course, Christ didn't and wouldn't, but could have, I guess, because if it's not tempting, it can't be temptation. But he wanted Jesus to be robbed of his sense of knowing he was loved and well-pleasing to the Father. Because everything Jesus did, he did by faith. And it's very hard to live by faith if you're living with a consciousness of guilt and shame. You with me? He questioned his identity. If you are the Son of Man, he tried to get Christ to do things to establish his own self-worth and identity. None of that was necessary because he was living with a sense of identity as man. I'm loved by God. I'm well-pleasing to him. And as long as you're living in that, that's what it's like to live under an open heaven. You can do extravagant things because you can believe God for extravagant favor because you know he loves you. You know he's pleased with you. That's what the enemy's after. Is that when you have a breakthrough, you don't just carry this fresh anointing and a fresh presence, but you also carry fresh temptation. And the temptation isn't just about getting you to sin, but getting you to blow it so that the enemy then becomes the accuser in a very real way. He always is, but that becomes the voice you hear, not the words that you're loved and you're pleasing to God. He wants you to hear the accusations, because then, even though we are under an open heaven, we can't hear that voice. You're loved. You're well-pleasing. And if you can't hear that, if you don't know that, if you don't have a consciousness of that, it's very difficult to walk in faith and for God to use you in your living a supernatural life. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.